Today's shiur is Daf Mem Beis. We will begin on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing what we spoke about yesterday on the what circumstances may one add water to a hot kettle and when may he not. Amar Rav, so Rav said, Lo shana la hafshir, that they only allowed to add cold water to a hot kettle only in order to warm the water. Avel tzarif, but to harden the kettle is forbidden. For Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Afil tzarif nami mutter. It's even permitted to harden the kettle. Ask the Gemara to try to understand Shmuel's shita. But tzarif l'chatchila mishari, is it permissible, is it mutter to harden a kettle on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, that can't be pshat in the machloikus of Rav Shmuel. Eli Itmar, Hochi Itmar. This is the way to explain the Machlaikus. Omer Rav, and this is the way Rashi explains the Machlaikus. Omer Rav, Lo Shana L'Shir L'Hafshir. You're only allowed to put enough cold water into a hot kettle that it's great enough that it'll be warm, not cooked. Av Shir L'Tzarif, to put in enough cold water that it will harden the kettle is Osir. And like Rashi explains, and we said this yesterday, in order to accomplish tzirif, in order to accomplish hardening the kettle, you have to fill up the kettle all the way to the top. So it will come out like this. According to Rav, to put in a little water will be usr because you've been cooking the water, which is usr. To fill up the kettle all the way is usr because it will be tzirif, hardening the kettle. So you'll be allowed to put in a lot of water, but not all the way to the top, so you won't have cooking and you won't have tzirif. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Afil Shiel Tzarif, even adding enough cold water, which will harden the kettle, which way we're explaining would be filling up the kettle all the way, is also mutter. Why is it mutter? Because it's a Dovish Enim Skavin. Since he is not intending to harden the kettle, and Shmuel will hold, like Reb Shimon, that a Dovish Enim Skavin is mutter. Ask the Gemara, remember, the Shmuel Reb Shimon Svirlei, are you going to tell me that Shmuel agrees with Reb Shimon that a Dovish Ein Meskavin is mutter? V'omer Shmuel, so before we go further, right away the Tosfos Rosh says, of course Shmuel holds that a Dovish Ein Meskavin is mutter, because Shmuel Paskin, we learned the Gemara the other day, that you're allowed to pull a chair or a heavy item in a place where there's earth, and even though it may make a furrow. So we see that Shmuel holds a Dovish Enim Skavin is mutter. So how could the Gemara question Shmuel holding a Dovish Enim Skavin is mutter? So Tosfos Rosh answers that there it's a Chayrish Kalach Yad. He's not plowing in a normal fashion. So since he's not plowing in the other normal fashion, that's where I see Shmuel holds that a Dovish Enim Skavin is mutter. However, in a place where a person is doing the malacha in the regular fashion, perhaps Shmuel will not be makel by Dovish Enim Skavin. So, again, remember the Shmuel Reb Shimon Svirlei. Can we say that Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon? Vama Shmuel. Shmuel says, Mechabin gechela shel matris b'shus rabin. You're allowed to extinguish a coal of metal and shus rabim b'shvil shelo yuzoka b'rabim, in order to avoid people from getting hurt in the Rishus Rabbim. Avaloi gechel shalheitz, but not a piece of burning wood. Now, v'sal kedatach savlok Reb Shimon, if we're going to hold like that he holds like Reb Shimon, afil shalheitz nami, he should permit even extinguishing a piece of burning wood. So the way we have to explain the Gemara is as follows. We just discussed a moment ago a machlokes Reb Shimon and Yehuda regarding a Dovish Ein Meskavin, an unintended act. But there's another famous machlokes of Reb Shimon and Yehuda, and that is regarding a malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And the way we always explain malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is the person would have preferred not to have the entire malacha in the first place. The example we always give is carrying a nifter out of the house. A person would have preferred not to have the nifter, and therefore carrying such a person is considered a malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Rav Shimon holds that a melacha shein tzrich legufa is potter. Rabbi Yehuda holds a melacha shein tzrich legufa is chayiv. Extinguishing a coal that's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is a melacha shein tzrich legufa, because the person would have preferred not to have the coal in the first place. Yet, we see that Shmuel holds that you're not allowed to extinguish it. Obviously, Reb Shmuel does not hold like Reb Shimon. He holds like Reb Yehuda that a davish and a miskavin, that a melacha shein tzrich legufa is chayiv. Why? What is the difference between a metal gacheles versus a wood gacheles? So Rashi explains that by a metal gacheles there is no kibum midaraisa for two reasons. Because one reason the Rishonim explain is because by the only time there's kibum midaraisa is when you end up with a charcoal on top. By a burning metal, you will not end up with a charcoal. Masha en kein, by wood, you will end up with a charcoal. Another mahalach in the Rishonim is that in the Mishkan, which is the model for all malachas, they only extinguished wood, they never extinguished metal. So therefore, metal is only a derabbanan, mash'enkein, wood is a deraisa. The Rebbeinu Chananel explains that the difference between metal and wood is not one is a deraisa and one is a derabbanan. By metal, it doesn't glow. The fire is not noticeable. So since the fire is not noticeable, you're allowed to take it and extinguish it. So people should not get hurt. Mash enkein, by a wood which glows, people will see, and therefore there is no problem of, and they will stay away from it, and that's why it's not mutter. And this halacha, as we're saying, is b'shul shlo yizorku b'rabim, that in order that the people in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim walking there should not get hurt. Now the question is, first of all, what is a rabbim? The rabbim is three people. Now the question is, why is this dafka a rabbim, or even for a yochid? So it's a machlokes. The Beis Yosef and the Rama say that even for a yochid, it is permissible to move something that's dangerous, and that's why the Rama says that if there's glass broken in the house, you're allowed to sweep it away, even though it's muksa, because shlo yizorku bo, you should not get damaged. Similarly, the Shoharim Tzonim b'Halacha paskens that if the gas goes out in the house, the fire from the gas goes out, and you get that smell of gas. You're allowed to turn the knob, even if there is no sakana, because since that odor is damaging, it's mutter. However, other paiskim and rishonim say that this heter is limited strictly to a rabbin, as the Gemara seems to indicate. And the reason is because a yochid, we just tell the yochid to walk away and not be there. I saw a very nice word from the Kotzker explaining the difference between a rabbim and a yochid as such. It's very interesting, he notes, that in Krishma, that we say three times a day, in the parasha of Ahavta, we say b'chol vavcha, b'chol nafshecha, or b'chol ma'oitcha. However, in the Vehoyevim Shemoya, we only say v'chol vavchem or v'chol nafshechem. We do not say v'chol ma'oitchem. Ma'oitcha, we know from the Gemara in Brachos, means all of your assets, all of your money. So he explains like this. The ma'oitchem, the money of a tzibur, the money of a rabbim, is like nafshechem, is like their lives. Putting a rabbim into a situation where they lose money is like killing them. And therefore, there's no need to say b'chol ma'oitchem, it's enough you say b'chol nafshchem. The same concept could be said in our Gemara, he says. Since in our Gemara we're dealing with a rabbim we're very concerned about, and that's why we're allowed to do these things, b'tzayich rabbim. The Leiv Simcha, just interestingly, used this vort of the Kotzker when he made his famous takanas about not making big weddings, extravagant weddings, or spending a lot of money, he says because it's the moment of a rabbim, and the money of a rabbim, the resources and the assets of a rabbim, if they can't afford it, you're destroying their lives. Rav Shlomo Zalman asks a very simple question. He asks, why is it permitted to extinguish the fire, the skachelis? Why shouldn't you just take a person and tell him to stand there and warn anybody who walks by that they should be careful not to get hurt? From this, Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Sefer Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin Paskins, that Chazal did not make us go out of our way and do something which is difficult and uncomfortable in a situation of pikuach nefesh. Since this could lead to danger situation, Chazal said you don't have to take a person to stand there. And that's why the Shmir Shabbos Kachosai Paskins, that let's say you have a cholish yesh besakana that needs a candle. So you have one of two options. One option is to go put on a candle. Of course, we're dealing in a situation where time is not of the essence. You could go put on the candle. Or another option is to borrow a candle from the next door neighbor. But the next door neighbor is sleeping, or it's difficult to get to him. May you put on a candle, or should you wake up the neighbor? So he says, you could put on the candle. Because where Chazal said you're allowed to do something, you don't have to start trying to do all sorts of things to make it less of an isser. Rav Pinchas Epstein disagrees with Shlomo Zalman in the case of the candle, and he says certainly if there's a neighbor with a candle, wake him up and carry the candle. Don't turn on a candle if you don't have to. Now, back to our Gemara. We're saying now that we see clearly from here that Shmuel does not agree with Rav Shimon regarding a melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, and that's why he did not allow to extinguish, like Rashi explains, the wood coal, because that's a melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. Yet we're saying in the Gemara that we began the shiur with today, that Shmuel agrees with Rav Shimon regarding the shail of Dov she'en miskaven. So does Shmuel agree with Rav Shimon or doesn't he? Answers the Gemara, but Dov she'en miskaven, regarding the shail of Dov she'en miskaven tzavol k'rav Shimon, he will agree with Shimon, but melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. However, regarding the shail of melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa tzavol k'rav Yehuda, he'll agree with Rabbi Yehuda that a melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa is awesome. And in fact, Tosfos asked the question, what's the havamina that these two shailas should go together? So Tosfos says that the havamina of the Gemara was that if a melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa yechayif, so we see that Chazal were very machmer, were very stringent in what is considered a melacha in Shabbos, and that's why they will also say the dov she'en miskaven is asur. But if you say, and that's what the Gemara thought in the Havamina, that we see that Shmuel is machmer and melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, it must be Chazal are very machmer in Hilchas melacha of Shabbos, in the issue of melacha and Shabbos, and they will also be machmer on a dov she'en miskaven. However, if we're mekel and melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, we'll certainly be mekel and dov she'en miskaven. And the Gemara says no, that the two things do not travel together. Melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, Shmuel could hold like Rav Yehuda, and dov she'en miskaven, he could hold like Rav Shimon. Now, the question that Rav Kivega asks is that even if you're mekel by, even if you're mekel, even if he's machmer, but in melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa, but here we're dealing with a makom pseida, where a person can get hurt. And if a person can get hurt, why is he not mekel? So he says that any time, even if you hold the melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa is mutter, wherever you're dealing with a real melacha, Chazal were more machmer, and they did not let you do it, even if you would normally hold that a melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa is mutter. Continues the Gemara, Amar Ravina, Hilchach, based on what we just learned, Koitz b'shus rabim. How many finds a thorn in the Rishus rabim? Melicha pox ma'ab amis. He should carry less than dalat amis at a time. Even though we learned at the beginning of the Masech, the person should not carry something in Rishus rabim less than that of Amis. Here, Chazal will make it because it poses a danger. Of a Kamalus, and what about in a Kamalus? If a thorn is found in a Kamalus, I feel Tuvi could carry even more than Dalan Amis, because the whole carrying in a Kamalus is only Midrabonon, and since it's a Mokum Hezek, the Rabbonin waive their requirement. The Magen Avraham, interestingly, says a Kula and a Chumra in this din of a Kites. On one hand, the Magen Avraham says that not only by a small thorn, which is not discernible, are we allowed to move it, as the Gemara just described, but even by a Kites Gadol, by a big thorn, which is discernible, and maybe we should not be allowed to move it because we could see it anyway, you're allowed to carry it. On the other hand, the Magen Avraham says, the only time you're allowed to move such a thorn is if the thorn got placed there on Shabbos. So since it was impossible for me to remove it from before Shabbos, the halach is, I can remove it on Shabbos. But if the thorn was only placed there, if the thorn was there from before Shabbos, it should have been removed before Shabbos, and if it wasn't, it should have not been, it's not allowed to be removed on Shabbos. However, many poskim that the Bi'ur Halacha brings down, that even thorns that were there from before Shabbos may be removed on Shabbos. On the other hand, the Rivash disagrees with the Magen Avraham, and he says that only a small thorn can be moved, not a big thorn. So we learned in the Mishnah, Avonaisin, a person could put cold water into a kettle or into a cup in order to warm it. Tanrabonim, so the Brisa says, Naisin Adam L'Techatzoinin, somebody could put hot water into cold water, but he can't put cold water into hot water, Divir Beshamai, this is Beshamai Shita. So Rashi explains, because we learned in Masech Techulin, a concept of Tata Gover, that whenever you have two substances and one entering the other, we say that the lower substance prevails. Therefore, if the lower substance is the cold will prevail and will not heat it up, and it's mutter. But if the lower substance is hot, then it will prevail, and the hot will prevail and cook it up, and therefore it's awesome. Tosfos says that this halacha is even in a Kli Rishon, that hot water from a Kli Rishon could be put into cold water, and cold water can be not put into hot water. The Tosfos Yeshanim disagrees, and the Tosfos Yeshanim says that when we say the hot water can be put into cold water, it's only hot water from a Kli Sheni, not hot water from a Kli Rishon. It's interesting that Tosfos asks on Rashi's approach, because Rashi is saying that the pshat in the Gemara is because of Tata Gover. But Tosfos asks that we know that the Gemara has a shail if we say Tata Gover or Yilor Gover. There's a mandam that says that the upper thing wins. If you pass an Yilor Gover, how will Rashi explain our Gemara? And he says, furthermore, even according to the mandam that says Tata Gover, that means it doesn't cook it all the way, but it does cook it somewhat, Kedei Klipa. So how could you say that Tata Gover is pshat in the Gemara? So Chassam Sofer says that we pask in Tata Gover, and even though the Gemara says it cooks Kedei Klipa, it's only a Chumrah. And since it's only a Chumrah, that's why we could use Tata Gover all the way here. The Pnei Yeshua says that the Gemara that says Tata Gover is cooks Kedei Klipa is only when you have a liquid and a solid. But when you have two liquids which mix together, there the mandometer holds Tata Gover, which is the way we paskin, holds that the bottom prevails all the way and it doesn't cook it at all. Because of this kasha, Tosfos has a different pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos says that it has nothing to do what's on top and what's on bottom. What it has to do with is what is the majority. Cham l'toch tzoinen means that there's more cold water than hot water, and that's why it's permitted. Tzoinen l'toch chamen means that there's more hot water than cold water, and that's why it's aser. However, continues the Braisa, Beis Hill Oimrim, Beis Hill say, Bein cham l'toch tzoinen, whether it's hot into cold, Bein tzoinen l'toch chamen, whether it's cold into hot, it's always mutter. The Medvam Amurim, however they say, when is this said? Bekois, regarding a cup. Since, as Rashi explains, there's two reasons to be makel on a cup. Number one, people who drink from a cup, a cup is made for drinking, and that water is in that hat. So that's number one. And number two, because water is in a cup, is a klisheni, and like we learned, a klisheni is not mevashel. Avabambati. But what about a bathtub? Cham l'toich tzoinen. Beis Hillel will hold that you're allowed to put hot water into cold water, even if the bathtub is a kli rishon. But l'tzoinen l'toich chamin, you're not allowed to put cold water into hot, because it'll cook up the cold hot water. Rav Shimon Menashe oisa. Rav Shimon Menashe says that this is aser. We're going to see soon what Rav Shimon Menashe refers to. I'm Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says, Halach Rav Shimon Menashe. The halach is like Rav Shimon Menashe. Begins the Gemara. So Rav Yosef Lameima. Rav Yosef wanted to say that Sefel, a wash basin, Harei Kambati, has the same halachic status as an Ambati, as the bathtub. Even though a Sefel is a klisheni, and an Ambati is a klirishin, Chazal said, since people use very hot water to bathe, it has the same halacha. Amla Abaya, so Abaya told him, Tani Rav Chia, we learned in a brayse from Rav Chia that sefel ene kambati, that a sefel does not have the same status as ambati. Ask the Gemara, well, am I the salka datum yikara? According to what we just thought a moment ago, that sefel are kambati, that a wash basin has the same status as an ambati. And furthermore, we also learned before that, the Amr Rav Nachman Aloch Rav Shimon Menashe. The Rav Nachman said that Aloch is like Rav Shimon Menashe, who apparently is saying that Beis Hillel will agree that by an ambati, both cham l'toich tzoinin, and both tzoinin l'toich chamin, hat into cold, and cold into hat, are osur. So el b'shabbos rechitza b'chamin leka, how will you ever be able to wash yourself on Shabbos with hot water? You can't use an ambati. You can't use a sefel, because we're saying now a sefel has the same thing as an ambati, has the same din as an ambati. And we're also saying that it doesn't make a difference if you put the cold into the hat, or hot into the cold. Now, so who says you're allowed to wash yourself on Shabbos? So we go back to Gemara that we learned in Naflamites. The Gemara in Naflamites when Beis said, Shmuel said, that in Shabbos, Rechitz Adam, pun of Yad of Aragel, you are allowed to wash yourself on Shabbos. So if you're allowed to wash yourself on Shabbos, but now you have no possible way of doing it, the way the Gemara is learning that Sefel has the same din as an Ambati, and Rav Shimon Menashe holds, the Beis Hillel holds, both ways are Usher. Answers the Gemara, Mi Savrit Rav Shimon HaSeifikoi, what makes you say that Rav Shimon Menashe was referring to the case of putting hot water into cold water? Areshikoi, it's going on the first case. It said at the beginning, Beis Hillel Matirin Bein Cham L'Toch Tzoinen Bein Tzoinen L'Toch Chamin, and Beis Hillel allow you to put hot water into a cup of cold water, and cold water into a cup of hot water. After that, Rav Shimon Menashe comes and tells us, Oysa Tzoinu Taichamin, that you're not going to put cold water into a cup of hot water. Ask the Gemara, Leimer Rav Shimon Menashe, Domek Beis Shammai. So according to this, Rav Shimon Menashe will be agreeing with Beis Shammai, and which is a difficult thing to say, because we know throughout Shas that we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Kamar. According to Rav Shimon Menashe, he will say that Lo Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel B'Davar Zeh. There was never a machloikus Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding this matter. The Beis Hillel also agreed that you're not allowed to put tzoinin l'toich chamin even by a cup. However, says the Gemara, Am Rav Huna V'Rei De Rav Yeshua, Chazina Le Rava, I saw Rava D'Lo Kop Ramana, that he had no problem putting cold water into a cup of hot water. Midatani Rav Chia, what was Rav's psak based on? On what Rav Chia said? Rav Chia said, Noist Adam Kitna Shemayim, a person could take a flask of cold water and put it into a sefel shemayim, into a wash basin, which is a klisheni of water. And he says, Rav Chia, doesn't make a difference between chamo techtsonim, whether it's the hot water into cold, or bein tsonim techtsonim, whether it's cold water into hot. Amalei Rav Huna L'Ravashi. So Rav Huna says to Ravashi, how could you bring a raya from that story? Dilmashani Hasam, there was different, domestically kli. You didn't pour the cold water directly into the hot water. You had it in a keli, you had it in a flask. That's why Rav Chiya was mekel. But perhaps when you're pouring it, he will be machmer. Amalei, so he said, Maritma. What really was said in the Braisa is one may pour, not just one may put. And the correct reading of the Braisa is Mara Adam Kitum Shamayim L'Tasefel Shamayim. A person could pour from a flask of cold water into a wash basin of hot water. So we see that according to Rava, which is the way it's gepaskin in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to pour cold water into a secondary cup of, into a klisheni of hot water. We will talk later what is mutter in a klisheni and what is osur in a klisheni. Hilfus, says the Mishnah, Hilfus for Kedera, regarding a frying pan or a pot, Shavirim Urusachim, that were removed from the fire while boiling, one may not put spice into such a pot. Now we're talking about that the Ilfas of the Kedera are a Kli Rishon. And a Kli Rishon, we're learning, even when it's off the fire, as long as the items inside the pot are still hot, have the koyach to cook. The Pnei Yeshua asks that this halacha we already learned in the previous Mishnah. We learned Hamechem Shepinu, if you take a kettle off the fire, you're not allowed to put it into hot water, because the hot water will cook. So what's the Chiddush of this Mishnah? So Pnei Yeshua answers, there we were talking about water. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even tavlin, which as we're going to learn, spices are hard to get cooked, still may not be put into a pot. Avil, continues the Mishnah, he could put spices to hot water in a bowl or in a tureen. Rabbi Hudaimer, because those are klisheni, and the klisheni is not going to cook the tavlin. Rabbi Huda says, chol hu naisin, one can add spices to anything, except something which has vinegar or fish brine, which are very acidic, and will speed up the cooking process. And we'll learn in the Gemara soon what is Rev Yehuda saying. Rev Kiva Eger makes an observation. He says, Rashi in our Mishnah says that Shavir Minar, Lo Yitin L'Tach Tavlin, you're not allowed to put spices, Mishatechshach, once it's dark. Which would mean, according to Rev Kiva Eger, what about Bein HaShemashes? Would you be allowed to put spices into this pot, Bein HaShemashes? So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that Rashi will hold that you were allowed to put into Bein HaShemashes, you would be allowed to put in the spices. Why? Because since Rabbi Kiva Eger says that putting into spices, even a Kli Rishon, is only awesome with Rabbanon, and we learned, like Gozer al Ashfus Bein HaShemashes, something which is only awesome with Rabbanon is permitted Bein HaShemashes. The Rosh Yosef disagrees, and he says that even Bein HaShemashes, it would be also to put spices in the Kli Rishon. So why does Rashi say Mishatechshach? What Rashi is trying to tell us is that it's possible that you took a pot off the fire before Bein HaShemashes, and it was off for a while, and still Mishatechshach, even though it's already a while later, the items in the pot are still hot and could cook. But of course, says the Rosh Yosef, that you would not be allowed to put something even Bein HaShemashes. So now the Gemara wants to understand Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda Reisha Koi, is Rabbi Yehuda talking about the Reisha Ulakula? And he's teaching us a Kula. That means that we learned in the Reisha that you're not allowed to put spices into a pot. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says, you know what kind of pot you're not allowed to put spices into Kli Rishon? If it has Chayim Mitzvatzir, they're very acidic. But in another type of pot, it will be Mutter. Idilma Sefer Koi is going on the Sefer and he's teaching us a Chumrah. That the Sefer said you're allowed to put spices into Kli Sheni. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, you know what kind of a Kli Sheni? Dafka Kli Sheni, which is, doesn't have an acidic item in it. But if it has Chayim Tzatzir, even though it's a Kli Sheni, it'll be Osir. Tashma. So let's see a Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, L'chol Ofisin Hunaisin, somebody can add spices into any ilfis. L'chol kederus rois regarding any boiling pot, he could put spices, chutz medavish shesh bechayim tzvitzir, except something containing vinegar or fresh grain. And this price of Yehuda is explicitly telling us that you're allowed to put spices even to a kli rishon, as long as the kli rishon does not have in it dover shesh bechayim tzvitzir. However, Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yehuda is dafka talking about tavlin, but regarding other matters, he will agree that they cook even in a kli rishon, even a kli rishon which is off the fire. So Rabbi Yosef Lameima, so Rabbi Yosef wanted to say, the melech, that salt, harei katavlin, has the same status as spices. The kli rishon boshla, in a kli rishon it can become cooked, or the kli sheni loy boshla, but it cannot become cooked in a kli sheni. Amalei Abai, so Abai told him, Tan Rav Chia told us, Melech ain't a katavlin, that salt is not similar to spices. The kli sheni, nami boshla, it can become cooked even in a kli sheni. And the Gemara says, Upligid Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman will be disagreeing with this. Amar Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says, Tzricha milcha bishula, salt needs intense cooking, kibisra datura, like meat of an ox. And doesn't even cook according to Rav Nachman in a kli rishon that has been removed from the fire. It can only get cooked on the fire. Vika Damri, others say, Sav Rav Yosef Lameima, Rav Yosef wanted to say, Melech harei katavlin. The Melech has katavlin. The kli rishon bashla. In a kli rishon it could get cooked. The kli sheni loy bashla. But not in a kli sheni. Amal Abaye, Tan Rav Chia. Rav Chia taught us, Melech ain't a katavlin. The kli rishon nami le bashala. It can't get cooked even in a kli rishon. And that's exactly what Rav Nachman says. Tzricha milcha bishula. Salt needs intense cooking. Kibisra the Torah, like the meat of an axe, which needs a lot of cooking. Now, what is the halacha? The Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, and it's taken from the Tosfos here in the Amid, that salt cooks only on an actual fire. Like Rav Nachman said in the final version of Rav Chiya's view. However, the Ramos writes that it's preferable to take in account the view that salt cooks even in a kli sheni, and therefore one should not put salt even to kli sheni. And that's what Tosfos says, Tava olav bracha. Now, our Mishnah and Gemara have spoken about salt and spices. But what about other items? So, many Rishonim say that, and that's the halacha, that many other items are called kali habishal, items that are easily cooked. And the Magen Avraham says that today we do not know which foods are considered kali habishal. Therefore, he says, one should refrain from placing any type of uncooked food in a kli sheni, except for a few foods specified by the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. Those are the only foods which we know for certain are not kali habishal. How about salt nowadays? So salt nowadays is anyway not a problem, because salt that we have, most of the salt that we have is already cooked. And we have a concept of ein bishul acha bishul. You can't cook something which is already cooked. And therefore we could add salt to a kli rishon or to a kli sheni. There are days that say you should not put salt in, or sugar into at least a kli rishon, because since they dissolve, so if they dissolve, they don't have a din like a dover yovesh, like a dry item on which we say ein bishul acha bishul. They have a din of a dover lach, a moist item where we say yesh bishul acha bishul, is cooking possible a second time, and therefore you should not put it into a kli rishon. You should only put it into a kli sheni, which you shouldn't put it into the pot. You should only put it into the bowl of food. The Chaya Adam says that if the contents of the kli sheni are so hot that they could scald one hand, which is a high madrega in Yad Seledis, it's Yad Nichfas Boy, then they're considered as if they're in a kli rishon, and it would be prohibited to add something to such a dish that would have the same din like a kli rishon. The Magen Avraham says that even though we're being makel and we're allowing to put tavlin into a kli sheni, even uncooked tavlin, it's only permitted when the contents of the pot are liquid. However, he says, it's forbidden to add spices to a hot salad food, which is in a clay sheni. He says that a hot salad is capable of cooking even after it has been transferred to clay sheni, because the walls of the clay sheni do not cool down salads to the same degree that they cool down liquids. The Mishnah Berurah says that only, he says in a shita, that only when food is transferred through pouring is the second vessel considered a clay sheni. However, if a vessel, like a soup ladle, was submerged into a pot, the soup in the ladle is considered to be a clay rishon, since the soup was not poured from the pot. Now, there's one interesting shaila I saw from Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein asks, what's going to be the halacha if somebody has a pot of cholent or soup on the oven, and you had a guest in the house, he didn't learn the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, and he came and he added some spices to the pot that was on the fire. Will you be allowed to eat from that food or not? Because our Gemara is clearly saying that tavlinim, spices, uncooked spices, are not allowed to be put into a pot on the fire. That everybody agrees. So what will be the halacha? So Rav Zilberstein says that he thinks it would be mutter, because since that food would be edible anyway, you could have eaten the food without that spice being added. Your guest wanted to make it better for you, but it was edible anyway, so it will be mutter, because he can't do that, he can't assert your food without something that you required. Begins the Mishnah. As we said at the beginning of this parak, when we began learning this parak really talks about two dinim. It talks about bishul, cooking on Shabbos, which we've been learning for the last few blat, and the next part of the parak talks about muksa. So let's quickly say an introduction. We've learned about muksa a few times in the Masechet already, but let's quickly say Hagdama, an introduction to Hilchos Muksa. The Torah tells us regarding Shabbos, V'hoi b'yom ha'shishi, it should be on the Yom ha'shishi on Friday, V'chinu asher yaviu, they should prepare what they bring, which teaches us that things for Shabbos must be prepared in advance of Shabbos. A Muksa item is essentially an item which was not prepared for use before Shabbos. And therefore Chazal said that muksa is asur. The Rambam gives three reasons for the isur muksa. One reason, he says, is because it says that on Shabbos we should not act like we do during the week. And one of the ways of showing that we act on Shabbos different than the week is by not moving around articles the same way we move them around during the week. That is a precaution that we not treat Shabbos as a weekday. Another reason, he says, is that if we were permitted to handle utensils normally used for doing melachos, one might forget himself and inadvertently perform a melach on Shabbos. And the third reason, he says, is that people who do not work all week, so how would we know by them there's a difference between Shabbos and the rest of the week? Therefore, Chazal added to prohibition of muksa things that these people touch all week, even they can't touch on Shabbos. The Ravid says the laws of muksa were created to prevent people from inadvertently carrying from Rishus to Rishus on Shabbos. And he says originally, therefore, the Isra muksa applied to all utensils. Later on, Chazal said that utensils that we need, and that's what we're going to learn, the machlokes of Shimon and Yehuda, what falls into that category, are mutter to be carried. So says the Mishnah, Ein noisnin kli tachas haner, you're not allowed to put a vessel under a lamp, l'kabel bayis ha-shemen, to catch dripping oil that will drip from the candle onto this keli. Now, Rashi, and as we'll see in the Gemara, say two reasons for this isser. The one reason is ein keli nitel ela tzarech tava hanitel, that it's forbidden to move a non-muksa object for the use of an object that's muksa. The oil that drips out of the candle is muksa for various reasons. Firstly, it's muksa machas mitzvah because it was set aside for the mitzvah Shabbos candles. Secondly, it's muksa because by taking this oil you would do kibuy, extinguishing. So you can't touch it because it's your over kibuy. Another reason why Chazal say you're not allowed to move this is because you now take this plate to put under the dripping oil is because bitl kli mechanoi. You're nullifying the preparedness of the utensil. That means you're making this, once the oil will drip into this utensil, it will no longer be able to be used because now it's holding a muksa item, and you're not allowed to take a utensil which was usable on Shabbos and make it non-usable. You're not allowed to create a situation that something that was permissible to be used should now no longer be permissible to used. And Rashi explains that it's like boina, it's like building. You're putting this keli on the table and you're attaching it to the cable because you can't move it. Now, what is the nafkamina, one of the nafkaminas between, one of the differences of halacha between these two approaches? If somebody put this keli under the oil, should he move it away or not? If you're going to say the reason is bitl keli mechana, the reason we just explained that you're not going to be able to use this plate anymore once the oil drips in, so of course you should move the plate away before the oil drips in and you won't have a problem with the keli menachonai. But if you say the reason is ain keli nitl el tzarech davar nitl, you shouldn't have taken it in the first place to use it for a muks item, you already did it, so you can leave it there. Continues the Mishnah, v'nesnu b'boi join, but if somebody places it from Erev Shabbos, mutter, it's permitted. Vein nusim emena, and you're not allowed to benefit from the oil. Lefish enem amuchan, the oil is not something which is prepared for Shabbos. And like we explained, the concept of muksa is muchan, something which is prepared for Shabbos. But something which is prepared for Shabbos, and that's why here the oil is muksa because it's enem amuchan. It wasn't prepared to be used on Shabbos. There's machloikus, the Tosfos and other mefarshim, how to learn pshat in the Mishnah. Tosfos learns from the snow by joying. Mishnah says if you put it during the day, it's mashmim that perhaps you shouldn't have put it there during the day. Tosfos says that's not true, and Tosfos says that halacha is that you are allowed to put a keli there from before Shabbos to catch the oil. It's only on Shabbos that you're not allowed to put such a keli. The Tosfos Yontif, however, says that you should not even on Erev Shabbos put a keli to catch the oil because we're concerned that maybe a person will come move this keli with the muksadiga oil in it on Shabbos, and therefore one should not l'chatchila set such a contraction. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, Av pish amru ein noisin kli tachas hatanigo el kal beit sasar. Although we learned in Masechet Beya that somebody is not allowed to put a vessel under a hen in order to receive her egg to prevent it from rolling off an incline because the egg is a dover muksa, and we just learned en keli nitl elil tzarech dover nitl, and you should not take a keli for the egg. Avakoyfa lekli, you're allowed to put on top of it a keli, you're allowed to put a cover over the newly laid egg, shleit shever, in order to prevent it from breaking. Amar Rava, so Rava says, my tamid Rav Chisda. What is the reasoning for Rav Chisda's psak? Kasaver he holds tanagoy asur lahatl beya bashpa. It's likely that a hen will lay an egg in a trash heap or in a similar place where it's in danger that the egg will be crushed. Ve'ein asur lahatl beit sasa, but it's not likely that it will lay an egg b'mokim madrin, and an incline where it will roll and break. Vatsola Mitsuya Torah, Chazal allowed us to take precautions that are needed to prevent normal losses, even when doing so involves moving a non-muksa item for the sake of a muksa item. However, Vatsola Sh'ena Mitsuya, but they did not allow us to take precautions that are not needed to prevent uncommon losses. In other words, moving a non-muksa item for the sake of a muksa item in a in an uncommon situation are not mutum. Abai asked, "Vatzolish and mitzulei matira, did they not allow us to take precautions that are needed to prevent uncommon losses?" Vatanya, "Nishbalei chavish al tevel b'roish gagoy, of a barrel of tevel, which is produce from which trumas and maisers were not removed, which are obviously muksa because you're not allowed to eat them on Shabbos, were broken on his roof. Maybe keli, someone could bring a vessel or menich tetel and place it underneath the broken barrel in order to save the contents." Now, tevel is muksa. The breakage of a barrel is an uncommon occurrence, yet the braisa permits moving a vessel for the sake of saving the tevel. Answers Rava, begulfi charati, the braisa is dealing with new earthenware kags, the shchichi de paki, which frequently bursts. So that represents a commonplace loss, which will be Rav Chisda's din, that you're allowed to move it for normal loss. Eisvei, so Abaya asks, from the following Mishnah, somebody could put a vessel under a lamp to catch falling sparks. Now, sparks are muksa and are not normally produced by a lamp, yet the Mishnah permits moving a vessel to catch them. Answers the Gemara, answers Rava, sparks too are commonplace and it falls under the heter of Rav Chisda that a tzolam mitzuya hitiru.